What's happening? Y'all know what time it is. We coming back at you live. This is Ask the Phoenix, episode 41. The power of imagination. Yeah, this is another one chocked full. Get your pens and pads out if you need to. We're going to start with this one, as we always do. First, with the disclaimer, we don't know anything on this podcast. In fact, the more that we learn, the more that we understand that we know nothing at all. So I want to start off with the power of imagination, or what some call success consciousness. The power of imagination, or just imagination, is the ability to form a mental image of something that is not perceived through the five senses. It is the ability of the mind to build mental scenes, objects, or events that do not exist, are not present, or haven't happened yet. So it's our ability, our unique ability, to totally invent something new, whatever, or even revisit the past. We can invent what the past may have looked like in our minds, right? Write a script about it, have people act it out how we've seen it in our minds. Right? So my question is, Goose, and I'm asking you this question to prompt more questions for me, is why don't we exploit the expanse of our imagination more and then use one another to be inspired? Like, man, look how Goose is taking full advantage of his imagination. Like, I should be doing more, you know what I mean, with my imagination. Like, is it solely because, you know, reality and imagination works on different parts of the brain? Or is it because people just make the choice to say?
I feel like it's both. And then to me, like, I feel like the reason why people might not, like, collab with their imagination as much as just because people aren't really, especially like nowadays with the way like everything is, like people might be scared to voice like what is really going on in their head for fear of like sounding crazy or whatever the case may be. So, because not everyone's like communicate, there are people that do communicate their imagination, so there's people that don't. But it's a majority that don't. So like when you come out here with like some crazy, to everyone else, it sounds like a crazy idea or something like that, you know, it gets shot down quick. And it like that happens enough times, it's going to make you not want to anymore.
That's a fact. That's definitely a fact.
It's more people not like running around with their imagination on all day than there is people that are currently.
But like imagination is like essentially the power of being you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it breeds creativity. So I have this quote that imagination breeds creativity. Creativity produces options, and in those options we find freedom. Right? So imagination is how I invent who I am. And I get to like shape that image in my mind, and I get to wake up every day and I get to pour a mold of myself into myself every day.
Yeah. All I'm saying is I think there's not like the majority of people that wake up like and think about that. You know what I'm saying? They just kind of wake up and go about like the everyday tasks, whatever they do that day. Like, you're able to be mindful of that waking up. Or like, okay, today's like a new day or whatever, I can create this and that. And someone else isn't waking up like that. They, you know, they might be waking up by an alarm clock and, you know, all right, I have to do this today. And, you know what I'm saying? Their mind's not as free flowing as that, being able to get up and do that.
But I know that everybody is different, but it's just, I have a hard time accepting the fact that that's how my imagination works when we see the actual power of imagination, even in folks, and you can look at the research, even in folks that think that they're not imaginative, the things that they're able to conjure up, it may not be as far out there as someone who's like an innovator.
Yeah, for sure.
That it might not be that.
I think that's what everyone's always comparing it to, though. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have some million dollar idea, you're not creative. I think that's what people chalk it up to.
It's not but the idea itself is not a million dollar idea. It's the action with the idea. Mm-hmm. So like, why give in to somebody saying that your idea is stupid when you can just be like, okay, thank you. And then just go make the shit work. Mm-hmm. And then be like, ha ha ha, it worked.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I understand the fourth grade slump. I understand that our imaginative genius is waning. It's being, you know, for lack of better terms, raped from us from very early on here in our education system in America, in the United States. But it's like, what makes the dreams of some people persist? Like, what makes that visualization so real for them?
I think they like believe in that, like they truly believe in that in themselves. They truly like believe in that idea, or like their imagination, you know, it's going to take them to where they want to go. Compared to some people, they don't. They just think like, okay, that's just a dream.
And then that can keep getting quashed by right. family members.
By
and
life,
loved ones.
Just life
yeah,
in general.
Yeah, yeah, right. But why do they accept it? Why do they stay there?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
And then when you help them, and when you introduce something as critical as creativity or imagination to these persons, to said persons, they fight to restrict themselves and hold on to what they've been into. And like we said, we're about change on this platform. So I imagine that we might have some bias because at least I know I do. I fan out over, you know, creativity and change and imagination and people just taking ownership of themselves. You know what I mean? And taking advantage of equity and agency. You know, these uniquely human things that wasn't always seen to be like, you know, regular things for everybody to have. I know nowadays it's hard to believe that things were ever a way other than what they are right now. But you have to exploit your imagination. Go do some research into the history of things and look at the level of agency that plays out with people being able to. I got a student that came into my office. We kicking it today, and she told me like, "Yo, I got 10,000 followers, man. I'm just trying to figure out how, you know, my education plays into, you know, how the two play into one another." And we had a rich conversation about that. Mm-hmm. And it's not like she didn't have her own story, right? But she wasn't limited by the story. You know what I mean? She's very much the protagonist.
Okay.
And like with my mentee, he's starting to own, he's touching it, he's feeling that this is mine. And it's like, for me, it's safe to say that imagination is life. But it's your life. how right. you see it, how you feel it, how you touch it in your mind, right? Why would you want to give that up? And when you know of it, why do you still give it up? I don't know, Goose.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that personally. I think that's something.
You had asked me a question in pre-production. Do you remember what that question was?
Kind of drawing a blank on it. It's
something about.
It was about imagination.
Yeah. I can't remember
how.
Damn. See, like, this is where I get it confounds me, right? Like, the depths of some people's imagination goes into what they're wearing for the day, or, you know, what they gonna cook for dinner.
Right.
But it's never, or I can't say that the wild, the fire out of your thoughts don't exist, because they do, but they're never cultivated. The ideas are never even valued or built upon. Like, so when we're in the shower or when we're driving, brushing our teeth, and we're doing those routine things that we have this optimal level of distraction with, that provides this like sweet spot of creativity and idea production. And we have these ideas and we allow those ideas to just wash away,
mm-hmm.
because my entire imagination is not valid, because I haven't produced $1 million idea and nobody I know has produced $1 million idea. So, like, you know, we don't even know where to start with these ideas, so they can't be valid. And it's like, it's not the idea. It's like, what are you doing about the idea?
Right. It's the action.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's like the power of imagination. And that's what Alex Osborne calls applied imagination. Because I have these ideas, but it's not enough for me to just have these ideas. Like, I want to see them dance in real life. I want to see them move like shadow figures when they, you know what I mean? Like when your fingers hit a light. Like, I want to really see how they begin to take shape in real life, in real time. And my efforts and a lot of my goals is to inspire that exploitation in a positive way of your imagination. Like, you can't be creative without having an imagination, and it's hard to, like, paint the picture of, like, how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was kicking it with someone. Was it today or yesterday? Well, 2 days ago, maybe now, because it's 1 a.m. But I was kicking it with this young lady, and she was telling me that, like, she didn't even have like a vision for her life, like where she wanted to go and like, yeah. how she wanted to live, and I'm like, well, damn, and it was like she was basically upset about her position and where she was,
yeah,
and I'm like, well, damn, where you from? And she told me where she was from, and I'm like, well, what would be the alternative in a place like where you from? You know what I'm saying? Well, I'd be probably working at the Gap or something like that. I'd have a job in the mall, probably something I really don't want. I like this guy, we together, and probably had this kid and end up knowing that we don't like each other over time. And I'm like, okay, cool. That sounds familiar. I understand that. But like, you understand that, you know that. And she like, yeah. And I'm like, but you don't know what's in front of you right now. even though what's in front of you is plain, you can design your success. And she like, yeah, but you know what I mean? I'm like, so like, why not work hard? Like, why not be here and work hard? Give it your all and imagine what could come of this.
Yeah.
Because at least with this, you know, this is this is added point on your CV. You know, big bullet of service. Like, where else? Like what else are you going to, like, what else? You know what I'm saying? Like, when you come from those disenfranchised backgrounds, like, and you don't know what your talents are, like, what else, like, what else do you have but your imagination, A, and but then to exploit your imagination to satisfy your curiosities, to educate oneself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I wouldn't, like, do you think people understand how pure that is, Goose?
I mean, I think at times, like, if you really sit down and think about it, but I don't think it just, like, comes, like, it's not, like, you're not, like, thinking about that. Like, I think if you, like, really sit down and think about, like, deep think, like, you could realize that, but, like, I don't think it's just, like, kind of in the back of your mind.
But do folks, like, deliberately not want to think about this? Like, is it something that folks are afraid of to think deeply and critically about?
I think, like, most of the time, I feel like life just gets in the way, where it's just, like, it's so much going on, especially if, like, you're not using, like, your imagination most of the time, or, like, you're not, like, you know what I'm saying? You're kind of just like going to 9-to-5s and stuff like that and doing that kind of stuff. Like, life might get in the way of you being able to sit down and do those things because, you know, you go to work for 8 hours and you get home and you got to cook dinner. And, like, your imagination's being spent on that stuff to be like, okay, and then just to go to bed and get up and do it again the next day.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah. And then that kind of placates your imagination. Right.
And then, like, things pop up on you know what I'm saying, and it always seems like it's something negative that pops up.
But that's the thing, like, it wouldn't just pop up if we took the initiative with our imagination and was very proactive within our practice of our imagination, and we started to design the life that we wanted, right? Like, what that really looks like, what kind of house I want, where right. I want to live at, what schools I want my kids to go to. Do I even want kids? Like, am I brave enough to say I don't want kids? What kind of relationship do I want to have? You know, like, how does that play out in my life? Like, mm-hmm. really, like, you mean to tell me people aren't asking those kind of questions? Like with the number of social media.
No, I think people are asking those questions for sure.
So why, like, what are the results? Like, are we not, is it just that we're not dreaming big enough?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of my point, is, like, I don't think people, like, I don't think they let their imagination, like, wander, to the fullest extent. I think it's just kind of like, okay, like, I'll settle for this.
There we go. Because wondering is the crime. Mm-hmm. Letting your brain wander is the crime.
Right.
Being in this very novel space, head in the clouds, daydreaming.
Right. It's always been viewed as like a negative
thing. Oh, way worse than now.
Yeah, yeah.
You went to, like, any kind of parochial school, right? Is that them Catholic schools and all that, right?
You went
one of those joints, man, in the early 20th century. You was getting, you know, getting your hand wrapped.
Yeah.
For having your head, quote unquote, in the cloud. Or doodling and drawing at your station. And now we understand what, with brain science, brain data, that, you know, doodling is a way that a person can co-process information. that's actually helping them focus on the information more, because it's providing that optimal level of distraction for a person to be able to focus in on the information that they're getting. Actually, there's some new research that supports that when a person is getting information that they want, that their focus is heightened. And you can, it's like a physiological response as well. Like, you know, they'll get goosebumps. They'll, you know, their heart rate might increase.
I feel that though, because I feel like if I'm typing something and I forget what I'm about to type, I'll literally just start banging a bunch of keys until like it hits me. And it doesn't take long. It's literally like a couple strokes. I'm like, okay, word. That's what I was trying to do. Like, I'll pull up Google sometimes and be like, fuck, I forgot what I was trying to say. And I'll like just bang, like I'll just keyboard smash for a second. And then I'll be like, okay, there it was. Like, so like you said, the doodling thing, it makes sense. To me, that's like the computer version of doodling. Like, I just kind of keyboard smash for a second. I'm like, okay, all right, never mind. I know what I was doing.
It's that optimal level of distraction.
Right.
Just to allow your subconscious to break through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that that's an amazing part of like some of our deliberate faculties, like something that we can do deliberately. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like a lot of folks that I happen to walk into, have a conversation with, it seems like it's a lot more of, man, I can't do that, or that ain't real, or it ain't possible for me to do this or that. And it brings me back to that research. Like, man, like, what makes me so different? Like, why did I want to get away? Like, why? But for me, it was a cocktail of things. It wasn't just one thing. It was so many things. I just allowed those negative things to spurn up like some art to put in its place. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if my family shit wasn't that good, then I'm going to TGIF at that time. And we had those family Fridays that, you know, on the TV, and I can imagine being in that space. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or, you know, if I didn't have the friends that I want, or if I didn't feel like I showed up in my friend network the way that I want to, then I can go to a comic book and then I can look at like some extreme collaboration on how they tackled and solved the problem that could have been for the universe, you know, a battle for the universe. Or, you know, if I wanted a safe haven for myself, I can go outside and build a clubhouse or something like that. But the things that's met with, you know what I mean? Like, over and over again, like my clubhouse was like, it was big and it was elaborate and it was broken down within hours after, like a couple of days after I like was like, damn, look at this thing that I was able to like get like some kids in the neighborhood together, and we like really put this shit together, and this shit was fly. Like, it was fly, and then it was broken down. And then it was like when and like I used my comic books to cope when I couldn't play with my friends because maybe I was on punishment or something like that, or they was on punishment, or you know, the various things that go on when you're a kid. And then like the family thing is, you know, that it was, you know, that's hard for any kid to grasp when mom is not in the home and things like that. So, and then in the heart of, you know, the crack epidemic and things like that. So it was a lot to drain my imagination, and then to go out my house and then have to adapt to the war outside. You know, my door required imagination to adapt to that. I mean, and that's the kind of way I feel about police, because I feel like, you know, a lot of police probably watch those action movies and they, you know what I mean? Get, you know, that's the life that they want. You know what I'm saying? Versus actually protecting and serving. But that's just like my thoughts on that. But I felt like you have to work doubly or double as hard to come up with something negative. Like, okay. It's draining to come up with the negative. It might be more relatable because there's, you know, comfort and misery.
But I think that's why people feel like that, like, it's easier then, because it's more relatable.
Mm.
So, like,
oh, so the it's
so it, I'm saying, like, you're saying it's double, like, it's double the effort to think of something negative, but I'm thinking, like you said, it's relatable, so that's why you might think of that. I'm thinking that's maybe why people feel like it's easier to think of the negative outcome of everything, or like a negative to something, is because it's like the more relatable thing. Which with just like the way life goes for most people, they feel like it's always something happening, something popping up on them or whatever that they're not prepared for, or whatever. So like it immediately feels like a negative thing.
But that's what I'm saying. You can actually be proactive about those things.
Yeah, no doubt. But I don't think people are all the time. Or even if you are, like, even if you thought about, like, okay, this is like the worst thing that could happen, whatever, you know, you're just kind of waiting for that thing to happen.
Or you like walking on eggshells till it happens.
Waiting around for that bad thing to happen.
You actually conjuring it
right
up.
Right.
Instead of exploiting your imagination for everything positive. And here's the thing. It's like you have the opportunity to exploit your imagination for everything positive. However, you'd rather use it for the alternative, the negative, because, again, that feels like home. Like,
yeah, being
it becomes
realistic.
Cool to, yeah, being right, realistic. Right. That's exactly it. And those work on two different parts of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm interested to know where appreciation lies and where that works with gratitude, like that works in that dopamine area, that gratification area. But I wonder if those work in those same like spot. I think that's a middle area. But it's. I feel like you can't. I feel like that's what makes it harder to be grateful for your situation when you color the story with gray crayons.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it's just this blah. It's just life. It's not, it's just my life. It's nothing special. It's what it is. And it's like, yes, it is. It's everything that you want it to be. Like, you at first have to dare to want it to be anything at all. Like, okay, so you know at some point that was taken away from you. But is it still not a priority now that you know better to not imagine the life that you want, not the life that's been prescribed for you?
Right.
But a life that you actually consider, like, this is what I want. And then go after what you want and not just settle for what is, because if it's showing up for you in your mind's eye, I like to believe that it's yours already. Because why would it, like, why would the sick and why would the universe be so sick and twisted to dangle this stake in your mind that's not yours? You know what I mean? And I feel like that's the narrative that gets passed on and portrayed, that you can't actually have what you dream of. And maybe at a point in time in the States, that was true. But now the narrative is different, and what we're seeing with imagination, I believe, is the massive halting of these breaks of this freight train that was, you know, going to this Disney ideal of what the American dream was. And it's taking some time, as the good brother, Dr. John Torrey says, it takes some time. It's taking some time for our lungs to adjust to this fresher air.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's going to take some time for us to adjust to exploiting our imagination. So I want to start exploring ways in which imagination makes life better on a far simpler level. So I just did a super simple Google of power of imagination. And I got like so many like separate prompts, like these, the drop down prompts that they have when you look up one thing. And a question that somebody had on Live Science in 2014, is imagination good for the brain? And this was the answer. It turns out that reality and imagination flow in different directions in the brain. Researchers say a leading theory in image processing posits that our visual mental images are not stored somewhere in the brain, but get actively reconstructed. So we are creating these narratives. We are reconstructing our own hells every day.
I mean, yeah, that just kind of explains how, like, you could show, you know, two people a picture and they're each going to see something different. You know what I'm saying? Or people have different views or opinions on stuff.
And you can basically gauge who that person is,
right,
by how they see that picture.
Right.
Or how they describe the picture.
Right.
That's crazy to me, man. So Albert Einstein says, imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited, whereas imagination embraces the entire world, stimulating progress, giving birth to evolution. It's said that our imagination is tapped into a collective consciousness of everything that is and everything that ever was, if you're brave enough to see it as such. The same as affirmations. Affirmations change the reconstruction, it reconstructs the way that you think about things. The pattern, it gives you a way to cope with the emotional response of how these words in the sentence make you feel. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So some ways to stimulate imagination instead of just barking all day is to allow yourself to just, first of all, be yourself. Be. Practice being every day. Take some time out of your day to practice being. I recommend as soon as you wake up in the morning, get up, do some things that you like to do. Make yourself a cup of tea, put some music on, do what you need to do to get in your space so you can do a little ditty, dance around, get silly, and then see what just comes up in your mind. Don't try to force with your yourself to come up with something new. Just relax and see what's there. Provide yourself an optimal level of distraction and then start to record the findings. No matter how small, no matter how large, record the findings. And be disciplined about this. And you can train your brain to be way more imaginative in your response or your approach to the world. Also, you want to acknowledge the fact that you have creative energy. You do have a flow. And you feel good once you're in said flow. And like we were just talking about earlier, me and Goose, we always get in these little quips. We was talking about attractions and distractions. And I'm saying to him that SportsCenter on right now that he loves is a major distraction for me. And he said it's not a distraction, that it's a major attraction. And I'm just, what did you say, Goose?
I don't think I said anything besides like everything.
Oh, you just went in. You definitely I was just went saying in for a minute.
I said everything is a distraction. Like,
right.
You could say that about like music or anything you use to like kind of get away for a second, or anything you enjoy, you could call that a distraction from like reality, from life.
But that's all, that's an attraction.
And that's what that was what you said.
Because that's escapism. That's a thing. Like, I can get away from this. And within that, I'm able to cope with this experience, this my human experience. I'm able to cope with being here or going through this or whatever. You know what I mean? But the things that attract me induce flow, because I just feel great with being there. I'm charged up with energy with being there. Like, I want to be used because it gives me such great energy to be used. You know what I mean? To know that I can be used. You know what I mean? That I'm of some value is when I'm at my most flow. And I can only be like, I'm at that optimal level of flow when I understand the party's privy. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on around me. And sometimes it takes for me to exploit my imagination. Like, where have I seen this before? That might be a television show. That might have been a book I've read.
Yeah.
That might have been a scenario that I've witnessed. That might have been I've seen people handle something like this before that I felt was providential, and I held on to it, right? But I know that these ideas are, or these images are not just stored somewhere in my mind. I gather them, and I connect these dots at will. It's fluid.
Yep.
That's, I'm in my flow. I'm having a great time with just coming up and connecting ideas and producing something based off of how I see things.
Yeah.
Right? Because we have this vantage of life. And within this vantage of life, we can choose the advantage or the disadvantage that contributes to how we see these things, how we see things in this life. Okay? So the next thing to do is to take risks. And the biggest risk is that you could take with this is being yourself. Because your imagination comes from you being you. Now, granted, there may have been a circumstance within your life that robbed you of being a child or being childlike. So you don't know what, you can't remember what it's like to just come up with ideas. And you might be saying, well, what could I do? And I would say, what do what kids do when in Rome? And if you can't do that, then spend time volunteering at a school. You know what I mean? If you can spend time volunteering at an animal shelter, which seems to be the new hot ticket, then spend some time helping these kids with executive functioning. You know, that's what our leaders of tomorrow, that's what we into now. So, like, that's the trade-off. They can give you some of that imaginative genius, that imaginative play. But even in volunteering requires that you take the risk and do something for us that only you can do. You know what I mean? Next, have fun. Have fun, man. What's up, big guy? Be proactive about having fun. Make it a priority to have fun. And I'm not just talking about the regular degular going out or whatever, having a couple drinks. I mean, like, reinventing what it means for you to have fun. Because fun can directly contribute to your mindfulness practices. These things that give you great energy, that bring you to the present, that bring you forward and centered. That's like, for me, it's like biking, walking, having a great conversation, because like I said, it activates a part of your brain that you just want, you want to pay attention, you focus. And I've cataloged, I've grown good at cataloging events that make me feel great. And I've done well over the past 5 years of filling up my schedule with everything that gives me this great energy, to the point where I'm, at least once a week, I'm asked, like, how do you keep this energy? Like, how do you keep this energy going? And to me, my only real responsibility is to know that, is to be aware that my imagination is always at work trying to express, you know what I mean? Like, how I'm seeing the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? And creativity is like the action.
Right. So, so how do you use your imagination for your advantage then?
Well, I'm always like, that's a great question. I'm always strategizing for upward mobility. So I'm always strategizing because I have the ultimate goal of having the country club. It's really a creativity club, like a country club. And it's inclusive instead of, so like, it's inclusive, exclusive, not just exclusive, if you get what I'm saying. And then,
yeah, no, we've talked about it before.
Yeah. And then the community center that's focused on STEAM and STEM programs, like in STEAM and STEM education, and like expeditionary learning and leadership trainings and things like that. So I'm, everything that I'm doing is to the benefit of that goal, right? And my mind as a capitalist is focused on earning the monies needed in a LeBron-esque fashion to do it myself, mm-hmm. and then prove the viability and then get this the buy-in from the stakeholders. However, like my colleagues, my friends and collaborators that I've recently met, it's just like, you don't have to do it that way. We can get other monies, right? And I had, see, that's another way that I have to put in into my imagination. I have to work in my algorithm that there's another way. There's more criteria out there. And that, right, makes me curious for, well, what might be all the ways in which we might have sponsorship or partnerships, you know what I'm saying? And things, stakeholders and things like that. Instead of, you know, we didn't have to storm the beaches of Normandy. We could have came down from the other way. You know what I mean?
For sure.
There's other options, and I need to be able to be imaginative about my options so I can be creative with the selection, to choose the best option that works for me. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But my imagination allows me to illustrate your, what happened for you, what happened for my dad, what happened for my friend, what happened for the Native Americans, what happened for whoever, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. with enough research, I can start to I can construct what this looks like for me.
For sure.
And then I can evaluate my vantage by having an intellectual conversation with other intellectuals, and I can chase down more facts and, you know, what we consider to be truth. And now I can imagine, I can build a whole new script off of this new truth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So that's how, like, I exploit my imagination. I'm always thinking about how to make my stakes greater and how to make my space astronomical. You know what I mean? I think with our ability to imagine, I think we far behind as creatives, as humans. And it's not all our fault, because, you know, it wasn't always, again, we didn't have this equity and agency, and the powers that be didn't want for people to be free thinking and creative.
Right.
They actually feared people being that way.
For sure.
And there's really no alternative to I mean, now we're starting to see that, but where there was for ages, you know what I mean? What seems like eons, there was no alternative to being able to, like, to a world to be, where's just the world of free thinkers? What does that look like?
Right.
Where's the world of Leonardo da Vinci's where everybody was thinking like that?
We're still not, like, all the way there yet. Like you said, John Tory said, you know, kind of like we got to adjust our lungs to that. Like, we haven't got all the way there yet. Like, everyone's not a free thinker yet, but I definitely think, like, that's on the horizon. Especially, like, they kind of fucked up giving us the internet and computers and stuff like that.
And social media.
Like, we got so much information, like, at our fingertips now that, you know, you can, like, think for yourself or do your own research and form your own opinions and not have to go off anything else.
You got somebody like Elon Musk paired with the internet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, somebody that disrupts the status quo of how we do business and then say, forget what you think that the public is not ready for. I'm going to produce this anyway.
Right.
Like, there was car shows where, you know, GM would build prototypes and the government would be like, no, that's
too much.
Yeah, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, imagine where we'd go without that kind of tampering.
No, I agree. I think that's what's hard for people to imagine sometimes is, like, being in a, like, living in that kind of world
where your individuality matters.
Yeah.
Tell me more. Why do you think that that's so, like, to me, so scary?
Like you said, it hasn't been like that for so long. Like, we're not used to that. And like we got to get adjusted to it. I think like right now it is, but I think like it's on the horizon where it's not going to be that crazy of a thing. And that's really going to be like the status quo where it is like free thinking. I don't think people are going to allow people to kind of like control the way they think anymore. You see it with like everything now. You see people questioning everything now, or just like, you know, just even with like the gender stuff, you know what I'm saying? People are like, yo, you're not going to tell me I'm like a boy or girl. I'm going to tell you like what I am. It's like, it like reminds you, like, you know, like the weird kid in school that would like run around like growling at people or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of like what it reminds me of. Like, you're not going to like tell them they can't, like, they're just going to do that. That's who they are. You know, it might be weird to you.
Yeah, that kid grew up to be DMX.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, it might be weird to you. Like, yo, why is this motherfucker like growling, like running up to people growling and shit like that? But like, to them, they're being themselves. They're
being themselves. And they're being their best selves.
They're being 100% themselves.
They're being their best selves at that time.
Like, I think we're getting closer to like that being more acceptable compared to like how it's always been. See, here's the thing.
I don't think that it's still, I don't think it's really acceptable. I just think that the people that mattered to died out mostly. Mm-hmm. And we have the people that those kinds of things do matter to are growing up and questioning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, damn, like, you know, I don't have to do things. And then this newest generation is they think that the way that things are is the way that things have always been. You know what I mean? They don't really explore anything that doesn't come across like the Instagram feed or the Facebook feed or things like that. And even then, it's still no hardcore research done. It's just like, yo, you believe this shit?
Right.
And then we you know, wow, and it must be true. So just like the Berserk video when Ferg and Big Sean is kicking it and they like, you know this drink lowers your sperm count or whatever. And they like, well, you know, is that real? Who told you that? Your mama told you? Yeah. Right. But nobody like really did real research.
When you're young, yeah, for definitely not. It's like kind of like whatever you heard. Like we heard some like wild shit when we were younger, like rumor shit that like definitely isn't true.
And if you were alpha, if you was an alpha person in that group, you had everybody else believing that.
Oh, for sure.
They believed you.
Right.
They believed in your confidence. So it must be true because Goose said it was true.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, how much of that shit did motherfuckers get away with?
They still do.
And that's my thing. Like, where's the imagination to even think that? All right, so me as a person of color, there's ample things out there for me to say. Okay, it's easy for me to distrust certain institutions because of the role that they've played significantly in a history that was against persons like me, right? However, what about the alternative? Like, what about ones that serve? What could that look like? Like, how does that work together? How does that come together? Like, how do we blur those lines so much that you can't remember where that other shit began or ended because it just kind of like faded away? To me, that's the power of like a collective imagination of free thinking, like to be able to be in charge of what you want without judgment. And like you said, it's changing drastically now when you have, you know, like I was kicking it with one of my students today. She was just like, you know, her people were saying to her, because she's of mixed race, people were saying to her mom, like, aren't you going to be afraid of, like, how she's, you know, how she's going to live, how she's going to have it? And it's like, only thing she needs to be afraid of is people like you with ideologies like yours. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, how are you conjuring up a bad way for her? This is a baby, a brand new baby, innocence, pure in this world. And all you can conjure up is how you think that they're going to have a bad time because the skin tone. Mm-hmm. That's you making that up. That's you carrying that ball. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That doesn't have to be carried. You know what I mean? Like, do you even realize that you're carrying that? And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, imagination has been dumbed down to like something that you use for brushing your teeth or some shit like that, using Crest White strips or some shit like that's prescriptive, not just using, like, doing something yourself. You know what I'm saying? There's so much authority and autonomy, you know what I mean, that comes from you thinking for yourself to say, hey, like I mentioned in the last episode, with being disciplined enough to learn a new language. That's just because you wanted to do that. You know, that inspires curiosity, your imagination. How did this happen this way? Like, damn, there's so many languages around here. Like, why is there so many languages? Now, if you don't wander, if you don't follow that curiosity, then that's something totally different. But at least it sparked up. It was there. Now, to be an active practice, to make it applied imagination, then you need to wander. You need to actually follow that. You need to get into maybe linguistics or anthropology to see, you know, how and why language was designed. Why we speak the language that we do. I was just asked recently, like, you know, why do people in South America or speak Spanish or something like that? And it's all the same no matter where you go. And, you know, and I'm like, yo, did you let that curiosity take over you to where it drove you mad to where you had to find it out? It's like, oh, nah, shit. I was on to something else after that. Like, yo, I can't live like that.
No doubt.
I want to know. So now, like, you know, the new disclaimer, like, that I have is, you know, this dude, just he be like having like a little bit of like a whole bunch of these little facts, like all the time. Like, how do you be having like this little shit? Like, how do you know this shit? Like, the smallest little shit? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel like that information builds onto some shit that I've already been curious about in my mind. And I'm able to connect the dots. And like how we just, you know, we read from that site from Live Science that we're always reconstructing this thing. And we just get really good at doing it over and over again. Heuristics, making a shorter connection between the two. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I just have a hard time with people with like the notion of having to understand that there's people that's going to fight to not have an imagination versus having one. And then with having one, exploiting it, like chasing it. But you can like talk down on somebody who is actually like you said, the dude is barking at people in school. And you're like, oh, this dude is weird. But he could have been the Grammy Award winning, you know, DMX.
Right.
This is how a person expresses themselves. And then it's like, that's like a part of, like, that's a part of the mission within Montessori schools, allowing like children to blossom and be themselves and then have a holistic learning that they just, you know, they're able to just learn in doing them. You know what I mean? Like, you want to go out in the hallway? Okay, go out in the hallway. You want to go to the library and go ahead. Like, this building is here for you to exploit your learning. Like, do whatever, but make sure you engaged in your learning, right? So it's like we have this learning for children that's sort of new that has drawn significant impact. The research is showing that this type of learning benefits the, you know, holistic learning, like a holistic learner and lifelong thinking and learning and engagement and things like that. And it's like executive function. And it's we have these adults that don't know anything about any of that.
Absolutely.
That was just saying that your imagination is going to be the death of you. You need to rein it in.
Mm-hmm.
And is we willing to follow that, then follow our imagination that is attractive and gives us great energy, but we're willing to follow the negativity. We're willing, we willingly lay ourselves at the mercy of the negative energy and the naysaying, but I use the analogy again of buying tickets to the concert. Like, what would anybody want to come see you for? And I feel like the answer within that is in your imagination. Like, what life do you want? Where do you want to go? I want to travel the world. Where do you want to go? Why do you want to go there? What do you expect to find? What do you expect to find of yourself? Like, I directly contribute my success, say that my success is predicated upon my imagination, my ability to see a life that I want for myself and going after it no matter what it takes, no matter the cause, long as it's not compromising my health or my integrity, my happiness. In fact, what I do builds upon my happiness because I'm able to exploit my imagination and problem solve on a day-to-day basis. And I'm with a team that embraces or like, you know, like one of my mentors said to me the other day, you know, I was in a bind and I needed a paddle. He was just like, I love problems. You know what I'm saying? And it's, they're like, I'm so grateful to be a part of a network like that. Like, where I can, like, my problems are applauded. You know what I'm saying? And we all have that. It's not like I'm drinking this special elixir. We all have this. I pay attention to those things that attract me versus those things that distract me. You know what I mean? I like to think that SportsCenter is very distracting because we ain't doing nothing but sitting here and watch other people get millions. You know what I mean? While we bet on, you know, their chances of winning and making more million. So we spend more doubly. We pay for the cable. We pay for the lights. We pay for the house to watch it in. And we bet on the game, which we may lose at the same time. To me, that's not attractive. an attractive something to do with the power of imagination. Like, you know, Albert Einstein said it is more important than knowledge itself. You know what I mean? It's your ability to be able to connect things and conjure things out of thin air. So either the air you sipping ain't conducive to your imagination and you need to get to some new altitudes, or you're just not taking advantage of what it means to be human. Taking risk and making mistakes. Hey, making fun of it. Like, I understand what roasts are about now. It's being able to make fun of yourself and not take yourself so seriously. I can hear all that, Goose. It's all good.
My bad. I was trying to adjust the mic.
And I forgot another thing that we need to do is allow ourselves to daydream more. Allow ourselves to outthink more. Outthinking, like the incredible Mike Fox always said to me, is just as important as in thinking. It allows you to hone in on the notion or the fact that I am human, right? I am not in, I'm like zoned out right here and I'm not in control of my thoughts, but I could be. Just my awareness of this lets me know that I can control this. I'm thinking about my thinking. This is metacognition. I'm training myself to pay attention to the times where it feels like, man, I lost 15 minutes right here. I really don't know what the fuck I was thinking about for the past 15 minutes. I don't know where I was. Like, you know, I know you've driven places like that before. Like,
oh,
like damn, I didn't took the wrong route, man. I'm thinking about something totally different. Damn.
Yeah, I feel like that used to happen to me a lot more. Like when I was in college, like driving to college, I'd be like, yo, I don't even know how I got here. Like once I pulled into the lot, I was like, yo.
And that ain't because he's a stoner or nothing, because he's straight edge.
I don't even know if I like was stopping at red lights and shit. Like to me, I felt like I just went straight through.
And that was
everything. I just ended up.
That was another reason why I wanted to stop driving, Goose. Like, it, yeah. Like when I look at driving, it was like so many reasons. Like I'm not eager to get back into it. You know what I mean? Like it's I like to look around. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean I enjoy that when I do. Like, because I don't often get to not drive. Like where I can sit in the passenger seat or whatever. So
you know what I'm saying?
When I do, I definitely like enjoy like looking at like everything that's around me. Like while someone else drives, like that doesn't happen for me often, so I definitely like enjoy that.
You get to listen to your music,
right?
Like I didn't zoned out so well, like driving, I didn't even hear the song, but I can physiologically, like I feel my mouth moving, like rapping to the song,
yeah.
But like to the beat, but I can't really, like I don't remember actually experiencing the song because I'm so zoned out on things, and the awareness of that allows me to know that this is a human experience.
Right.
Like, and it's up to me to take ownership of said experience. And instead of just allowing it to be an occurrence, make it into what I want it to be. Right?
Yep.
But I feel like when you say that you want to make anything into what you want it to be, it requires bravery, because when you want something to be that way, you have to have the courage, the guts to say that I want it to be this way, and have to stand within your resolve of saying that I want it this way. You know what I mean? And you have to keep reconstructing, keep innovating what that'll look like. Yeah, you see here, they say that right there. You know what I mean, Goose?
Yeah, I hear you.
I think it was Michael Phelps that said he visualizes all his wins before he, you know what I mean? He even had, like, he experiences them. He feels like he's won at a molecular level. Like,
I mean, they used to do that for us, like in football, stuff like that. They used to, like, kind of tell you, like, you got to visualize it. You know what I'm saying? Like, before, like, we go out there for the game, it was like, it'd be dead silent. And they would be telling you to, like really think about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about what's going to happen out there. Like, have that imagination. You know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of, like, they make you close your eyes. It's dead silent. Music's off, everything. Right before we go out there. And it's just about
visualizing,
like,
attack.
Like, seeing whatever you see, like, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you see in your mind when you go out there.
And that's the thing. Like, it seems like folks are scared to acknowledge the everything else. Yeah. Like, I could fail. Okay, then failing, like, what does that look like? What does failing look like?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and how might I recover from that? Like, who might I tap into? Who's going to help? Who's going to assist me? Who's going to resist me? You know what I mean? What's going to help or hinder me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it wasn't always like, every time I like thought about it, I didn't always think it was going to turn out well. Like, I didn't always have that full confidence, like, all right, we're going to win, or like, something good's going to happen. Like, there was definitely times where I was like, well, you might get our ass beat, you know, like, thinking about it, like, looking at it in the future and being like, all right, well, we might get fucked up out here.
Even with saying, like, shit, we might get fucked up out here, you still was like, all right, let me look at ways in which I could still be successful.
Right.
Even with playing with somebody that I feel like outmatches me.
Yep.
You don't know if they outmatch you.
Right.
That's the narrative that you're constructing in your mind.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So what does me being the protagonist, what does me being the victor, the creative, what does, like, how, like, I'm inventing the win. What the fuck, what does that look like? Don't tell me I can't win. I'm going to find a way to win. Don't tell me I can't win. I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's, you know, like, I look all through my mind and figure it out. I have to figure out what makes me the best, or what gives me the best options. What's the optimum results for my life and what I wanted. It used to be, like, I used to tell my guys all the time, especially when we in the streets, man, we want the maximum rewards with the minimum risk. We want the maximum results with the minimum risk. And, you know, like, now it's different, especially with, like, having conversations with my mentor about, you know, optimization. And optimization is more towards, like, what's the good in it for all of us versus, you know, how does this just benefit me? You know what I mean? And get me the maximum, because the maximum for me could be depleting somebody else. So I want this thing to be steeped in the art of reciprocity, that we're all this, we make this thing flow. You know what I mean? It takes us to be moving in unison in order to make this thing flow how it needs to flow. You know what I'm saying? And I'm feeling like that lack of imagination is what makes it harder or more difficult for a person like me to be able to collaborate. Because, like, you know, we in an emerging market where Buffalo is going through this major renaissance, and it's great. I love where my city is. I love where it's headed. At the same time, I feel like we could be doing a lot more to reach, you know, certain areas of the city that has lost hope, for lack of, like, better terms. And shout out to my guy, Iron Man, that, you know what I mean, who's champion that creativity equals hope. That, you know, there's a lot of folks that just lost hope, man, that just don't believe that they deserve the best things. And I'm not trying to get on here and be like, oh my God, you deserve everything. You got to know that you deserve the best. But don't you want the best? I want the best, man. Like, I want, and I ain't ashamed to say, I want the best, man. I work hard for the best. So my mind is, I'm conjuring up all ways of having the best. and make it a part of my regular protocol, making it the best a part of my regular everyday lifestyle. It looks crazy to you. It looks tough to you, but it's my Tuesday. This is just what I do. Because I do everything that fills me up, that gives me energy. You know what I mean? Everything that attracts me, everything that serves me, serves my mission. I can bow out of temptation. I can give in and say, man, I'm human. But I've had enough of those instances. I want what I want. I want the results I want. I don't want kind of results. I don't want equate. I want store brand. Not because for the material purposes of it. I'm talking about the excellence of it. Not saying that, you know, store brand is always excellent. Don't get caught up in those meticulous things. I'm just saying, like, if there's options to for the best, then I'm going to outline what the best is for me. And I want that. I'm going to trace that out and I'm going to go after it. I'm going to execute on my ideas. And I'm going to practice at executing on my ideas to make it easier to execute on my ideas because I trust myself more. I trust my insights, my experiences in this world. I know they're worthy of gold. Like you can mine things from your story, but you have to own your story for what it is. The beauty of imagination is with reconstructing those images of your past, you can reconstruct them and reconstruct them in a way that makes you the winner. And you can start to trace that red thread back through all the ways in which you've always won, that you've always been taken care of, you've always been provided for, even in your lowest and your darkest moments. It was some way, it's just something worked out for you. And it was sweet. I challenge you to do that deliberately. To like, all right, I'm about to imagine building a bridge. And from that imagination, I'm going to go to the hobby store and I'm going to get a bridge puzzle, a 3D bridge puzzle. From the 3D bridge puzzle, I'm going to get a sculpture, a bridge sculpture, and I'm going to put that together. And from that bridge sculpture, I'm going to get into the theory of how suspension bridges work. And I'm going to go study the theory by disciplining myself in some accredited program that will witness me. You know what I mean? Because that's just how serious I am about it. I'm willing to put in the incremental work to get the results that I want out of life. I don't know what I'm going to do later on in my life. Like, I didn't know what I was going to be doing in my 35th year. I didn't know I was going to be teaching in the college. I said that several times. I didn't know I was going to have these associations, but I've been working in Providence. I know I'm going to do great things, and I'm not just going to sit on my ass and hope that those great things walk towards me. I'm going to walk towards it. It ain't got to walk that hard. Because we're going to be greater together. We're going to do this work together. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm going to imagine all the steps in between that I feel is salient into getting me where I want to get to. And those things will open up opportunities for me to see things differently, to where I can do things less difficult. I can have easy. I can have better and bigger networks and collaborations and things like that. But by no means am I stopping or am I ever going to stop. This is a part of me. This is a part of my libido. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just like it's you know, it contributes to everything that I am. And, like me and my mentee was kicking it today, and it was just like, I'm the least active in that capacity than I've ever been, because I'm cool with the narrative of who I am now versus the narrative that I thought I had to feel with being a male from the hood. I can't share a space with a female without y'all getting to that spot. Like, what we doing? Like, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So with reinventing myself, the I like just, you know, being around. That's hard. That's still hard for a lot of folks to just do. Just to be like, yo, I just want, you know, I genuinely like just want to be cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I value your insights. I value who you are as a person. And I like to have more of that. Granted, if you're attractive, you're two attractive people. Yeah, of course. Okay. There might be times where you might be like, but could you imagine something greater? Could you imagine something bigger than bumping pelvises? Like, could we respect the fact that there may be more work for us to do together than just this? Than just to satisfy our flesh in that kind of way? Like, it's so much more. You know what I mean? Could we imagine that? I mean, that could sound lame, Goose. That could sound lame, right? I mean, there's no women on here to gauge that. But if a woman came to me and was just like, yo, could we imagine more? That would kind of be like, oh, shit. Well, okay. Well, where are you going with this?
Right.
What you talking about?
For sure.
You know what I mean? Is you smoking right now? Like, right. Where is this coming from?
Yeah, that's not a normal conversation.
You see what I'm saying? Like, and not in a way that there's just like you trying to be funny, but I'm like, really, like, what else might we be able to do together?
Yeah.
Like, not everybody I've ever laid down with or been with in that capacity, I've seen myself with. Right now, I just feel like I recognize it more that I'm just lusty and I would want to just get after this person because I want to get after them, but it serves no real benefit or function in my life. However, if I imagine greater from the whole person, there's so much more we can do together. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So from the smallest to the smallest thing to the tallest thing, I'm saying, like, we should be exploiting our imaginations for so much more. If you already have something conjured up, then I challenge that you haven't attempted to even be dreaming big enough for what you're capable of doing. With the right guidance, with the right mentorship, with the right knowledge, for damn sure with the right network. There's no limit to what you are, what you'll be doing, being. And I think, that's what contributes to fandom the most, is the awe, the sheer awe that we have in watching someone else give their awe completely from their imagination. They're simply giving the story from their vantage to their advantage, if you understand what I mean. Like, I'm using my vantage to my advantage. The way I see things is of some value. The way I see things is of some value, it's the American way for me to capitalize on it. Because the market demands that I capitalize on it, I'm going to build a lifestyle around it. And I'm going to imagine the life that I want, with the family time that I want, the amount of work time that I want, the work week that I want to work in. I'm going to completely redefine what it means to be a hardworking American by the way in which I do it. Not based solely on making money because not making money. It's a company somewhere right now that's just like, you know, all I really want to do is make $20 million. You said that earlier. All I really want to do is make $10 million a year for the rest of my life, and I'm cool on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you really think about it, that's not much.
Nah. I was just saying I would take a couple football hits. I was put on a pass for 10 right. minutes a year.
You definitely
get smacked up for 10 years and
retire. Catch concussions. Yeah. Have my fingers permanently broken different directions.
That's worth $10 million a year for me. Fuck it.
For a lot of us.
Right.
That's worth $10 million a year.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you can make it out alive.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what I mean? But what if you could do what you love to do? Not what you felt like you had to do.
Yeah.
For $10 million a year. Every year to the day you die. And you got approximately 8 decades on the planet, which means you got somewhere like 6.5 left. 65 million is something that's somewhere something that you could be looking at. You know what I mean? That's man. Oh no, we didn't, not even for every decade. That wasn't for every decade. You know, that's 10 years. So you're talking about 650 million. Yeah. Excuse me. 650 million. Caught myself. In your lifetime, imagine the impact you can drive with that, with those kind of resources. Because that's, like, for me, that's what it's about when you're playing at that level. Like, what initiatives are you driving that makes things simpler for living, period? So that the ones that need it the most have an easier route of making it to what they imagine, towards their dreams. Like every time we make it, like on A Wonderful Life, every time the bell rings or Angel gets his wings, it's like every time somebody else makes it, that algorithm should be directly passed back down to the families down. They like, who wants it? You know what I mean? Like, here, you know, here's an algorithm. It may not be the algorithm that works for you, but I'm teaching you how I made an algorithm and how you might be able to build an amalgam in your mind based off of you, like, researching your life, mm-hmm. combing through your life and the events of your experiences in your life. And then, like, reimagining what you want there or how you want to see that, not in like a denial, blind denial kind of way, but no, really evaluating what's there. Look at it, see it in your mind. Like, we can imagine tasting and feeling it. Imagine that. And how might you use this experience to your advantage? How might you change this vantage to an advantage instead of being a disadvantage and accepting the fact that you're disadvantaged? Designed to be so much more. We all are. But it starts fundamentally with the practice of your imagination. Try some things. Appreciate life. And because you appreciate life, quiet yourself to hear the questions of, what do I want? What do I like? I like to go here. I like to go there. I like to talk to people like this. I like serving people. I like making people feel good. Stuff like that. Like, start there. And then from there, allow your brain to daydream. Just allow your brain to wander. and think of all the things you could do while doing the things that you like to do. And take advantage of those times, those moments that you'd be out thinking, and supplant that with thinking about all the things that you could do with knowing that you can't fail. Even when you just had a gap in your brain, like you in your thinking, you know what I mean? Like, I can't fail. Throw that in there. Like for me, like when you said earlier, you just tap on the keys, Goose. Like for me, if I'm looking for something, I'll be like, where my money at? I just keep saying that. Mm-hmm. Like, where my money at? And then it come to me. Not even money. It's not money.
Right.
I could be looking for my toothbrush. And I'm like, damn, where did I put it? Okay. Or I could be thinking about packing my toothbrush in my luggage. And I forget about that thought. And I'd be like, damn, what was I just thinking about? All right, where my money? Oh, I was supposed to get my toothbrush in my... And this might be something that you could read on my face, but it's not something that I'm saying out loud. You know right. what I mean? These are thoughts in my mind. I'm exploiting my imagination to make those deliberate connections, problem solving for the things that I want. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
That even works with, like, you know, computational things, like with coding and binary functions and things like that. Just, I don't know, man. We talking about next level thinking, man. That's all I can say, man. What was once thought to be, you know, fanciful and dangerous and silly hearted and whatever, you know, the amount to nothing is proving to be the critical, the vital element in our progression and our evolution as creatives, as humans. And it deserves to be cultivated. And this episode of Ask the Phoenix is serving as a what would you call it, Goose? Like something to say that you that is letting you know is something is not right, or something is right, something either is right or something isn't right. You know what I mean? Like
your intuition,
like a thing, like if this is your quality control, this is your quality control right here. But thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
This is the quality control here. Like, okay, so this I could use, or, you know, this is it. Like, this is immediately, okay, this is what I've been looking for. You know what I mean? So you mean to tell me I can do what with my imagination? You mean, I can just say this, I can just do that, whatever. Yes. Whatever you want, you're free now. You have the license. You have a creativity professional telling you that you have the license to exploit your imagination. Just try some shit. Anything. Get it wrong. Go out and play in the mud. I seen some young brothers. It was pouring down rain. I mean, a torrential downpour. And they kept playing rugby like it was 70 degrees and sunny. Your mind immediately wants to say, like, what the hell are they doing? They're going to catch pneumonia out there. But they might think that contributes to their level of play. Who knows? That's what they wanted to do. And why am I thinking so much about it? Why am I allowing their gameplay to distract me instead of being attracted to their level of commitment and being inspired and riding that carpet of, or that cloud of inspiration to see where it takes me? Like, damn, yo, them boys is hungry. Them boys is staying out there. Or the women. Because the women be out there in that rugby going hard as well. You know what I mean? So, did you think of that question, Goose? From Pre-Bro?
I thought the question was me asking you how you use your imagination to your advantage.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that was everything then.
I think so.
All right. So then that means that everybody that frequents the podcast, and for my our first time listeners, it's morphin' time. So y'all know what that is. Get strapped in. Some of y'all, those apex predators, this is your favorite part of it. This is the recap, the drawback, and the breakdown of how we gonna connect the dots on this information that we just got.
Yeah, but
man, we don't care nothing about that, man. You know what I mean? I think you help bridge my weird and quirky style of delivery for people who don't know me. You know what right. I mean? So, you know, in the morphing time, you always bring good, some good points that I can kind of like, when they real good, then you end up setting me off again. It delays our outro, but
right. Well, to me, this particular episode, I feel like, to sum it up, it's like, I mean, your imagination is your reality. So you control like everything. Like when it comes to that, like you control how everything plays out, because it's all coming from your imagination.
You could choose.
Yeah, you could choose.
Even though reality and imagination works on different parts,
you could choose how you want to look at anything.
Okay. That's what's up. So that's everything for the morphin' time?
For me, that's what I can sum it up to.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Yeah. All I can say for morphin' time is become a creator, man, and take deliberate will over your imagination. You know what I mean? Say that idea, I'm going to do something daring, and I believe in what I'm doing so much that I am going to plan for this grand outcome, and I'm going to strategize towards the plan, and I'm going to reaffirm, I'm going to give myself mantras to help myself believe in faith that I'm going to be where I say that I want to be. And I'm going to embody the behaviors of the person that I see myself being within that space. I'm not going to wait till I get there to occupy that space. I'm going to occupy that space now. I'm going to imagine what it's like to be, you know, one of the best consultants on the planet. I'm not going to wait to be that. I'm going to embody that right now. And I want to get greater every day in being that. You know what I mean? I dare to wander, because my imagination was bold enough to say that I can be the greatest. I'm free to be the greatest. You know what I'm saying? Exploit your imagination because it's free, man. You know what I mean? A lot of y'all spend time lying because it's free. Imagine because it's free. You know what I mean? Soar. Fly. Dare. You can do anything. Be anything that you want to be. Believe and have the faith on getting there. You only got a lifetime to do it. Give yourself some space. Give yourself some grace to relax and be you, and watch how things will unfold for you. I guarantee they unfold just how you deserve. Everything here is for us. It's for you. You know what I mean? So Goose, where can they find you at, man?
At Goose Swavy on everything.
That's it. Did you ever break that playlist, that new playlist back out?
It's ready to go. I'm just about to get some artwork done for it, and then it's dropping. I don't have a date yet, though.
Okay. That's what's up. Well, Zach Billion's doing it?
Of course. Nobody else.
Zach Billion's just had a major win. Y'all go look him up, man. Him and his brothers, they created this software. I think I mentioned it before.
Not on the podcast. We were just talking about it.
Yeah. What did the software do?
It's for inmates to be able to keep in contact with the their son, family, and daughter, yeah, their family and stuff.
Like pictures and all that, something like that, everything. Right?
Mostly pictures.
Yeah. Shout out to Zach Billions, man, a Buffalo native out living in California, man. Built his own, creative company out there, and he's doing really well. He's actually tackling. He's the person who tackles all of both of our design efforts. You know what I mean? He's the one who's reconstructing my website as we speak, and that's going to be turned around real soon. And I think, you know, the world will be amazed at what we've been able to do within our collaboration. How did we get on that? How did we get on Zach B?
We're just shouting him out. So I was talking about my mix.
He's gonna be doing the artwork for that. Yeah, so shout him out. You can check him out on at Zach Billions. What is it, Zachary Billions?
Zachary Billion. Zachary Billion. With an X is the I.
Yeah.
Zachary BXLLION.
Yeah, check his work out. You know what I mean? He's definitely a creative to watch. You know what I mean? And you know, all my mentees. I don't even think they'd be tuned into this, but I want to shout them out because they're definitely creatives to watch, man. They contribute to my greatness. They challenge me every day with new thinking. They keep me fresh every day. They keep me on my toes. They keep me strapped to my research. You know, that I need to be publishing more. They inspire me, you know what I mean, with their hunger and doing more. Levels of entrepreneurship and understanding entrepreneurship, the fluency, the level of flow is, you know, and shout out to all the people that I admire, man, my network, my associations, you know what I mean? The people that pour into me, I'm forever grateful for you, you know what I mean? My real friends, the real players out here, you know what I mean? You know, there's no value, there's no words. That I have for you. But to the kings and queens, yeah, I know what y'all can do. Continue to be beacons. You know, first accept yourself such. And you have to imagine yourself as such and accept yourself as such. You know what I mean? Like Goose said, your imagination is your reality. It already is. So you might as well use it to your advantage. Imagine yourself as a king and queen and look at it as that's just the first level. You know, that's your lordship. That's the stewardship that you've accepted to be looking after somebody else, to be looking after this thing that's greater than all of us. You know what I mean? Because the sum of us is greater than the one of us. To the gods and goddesses, continue to create. These are those folks that dare to dream and to follow their dreams and be a source of inspiration or a resource of inspiration for another because you sheerly go out and do it. You know what I mean? And you make it look easy. You make it look effortless. And then you give back because you know what it's like. You know what I'm saying? And that's one thing where, you know, a lot of folks ask me, like, well, why you give back, man? It's because I know how valuable this is to you. And it's like, you can't take it, you know, personal. You can't take good things personal. Like, you can't take bad things personal. And it's like, you know, I'll be wanting to ask people, you know, that look out for me, you know, that help me out in my journey and my saga. Like, why? And every time the answer is almost because I know. And we got to keep looking after one another. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, to those guys and goddesses, continue to create, man. We need you. You know what I mean? We love to see that. And to the Phoenixes, you know, y'all know what y'all got to do. You got to keep transforming. You got to keep burning up and rising from the ashes. You got to stay committed to inspiring one another or another. You got to stay committed to allowing your imagination to fuel your every endeavor, to infuse the you into it, to make whatever it is, the project that you're doing, that much more creative, you know, to give you more options to have those optimal results. You know what I mean? So you, Phoenix is more, you know, those of you that choose to exploit your imagination to think of yourself as such. When I say that you flame on, is that you, I look forward to burning up in this and burning brighter than ever before. My plumage being of a stronger color, of brighter brightness, of a hotter heat and flame. You know what I mean? That's what I mean about by flame on, man. You know what I mean? You're dedicated to reinventing yourself for the greater, no matter when you have to, no matter how you have to, as long as it's contributive to the narrative that you wish to build. You know what I mean? So, all my Phoenixes, flame on.